Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Hate shopping for pants? You're not alone. Jack Archer's Jet Setter Tech Pants are basically the answer to every guy's closet struggles. With their customizable fit, wrinkle-free fabric sourced from Japan, and all-day comfort, these pants can take you from work to weekend without missing a beat. Seriously, these might be the only pants you'll ever need. Style them with the Jet Setter Tee, Legacy button-down shirt, or the buttery Legacy Polo sweater, and you've got timeless staples to meet your everyday wardrobe needs. Jack Archer is just better. For a limited time, get 15% off using the code GETJACK at jackarcher.com. Again, that's promo code GETJACK at jackarcher.com for 15% off your entire order.
Hey, I'm Greg Hill, and this is The Greg Hill Show, where Boston sports and real talk collide.
I'm Courtney Cox, along with Wiggy. We break down everything from the Patriots and Celtics to Sox, Bruins, and the stories that have the whole city talking.
Yo, you'll get bold takes, big guests, breaking news, and trust me, we ain't afraid to stir it up.
We've got every Boston sports angle covered.
Follow and listen to The Greg Hill Show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. New episodes drop every weekday.
Swinging a high drive into center field, hits at the wall, it is gone! Passes, does it again, it's gone, it's into the bullpen, this game is tied!
He swings and rips one to center field, it's high, it's deep, it's back, it's gone! Sale winds, he fires, swing and a miss, strike three, it's over! The Red Sox have won the World Championship!
All right, let's go. We're back. Play Tessie, episode 279. This is the official Red Sox podcast of WEEI. Before we get going, hit that subscribe button wherever you get your podcasts. Rate 5 stars. We really appreciate it. And you can find us on WEEI's YouTube channel. Hit the subscribe button there. We really appreciate that as well. Hit the thumbs up on the videos if you don't mind that. And find us on the socials, at Play Tessie, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok. Sammy's here. Pat's here. Gordo with you here. Not a ton has happened since last time we jumped on this podcast. For whatever reason, if you're watching the video, I'm still white as a ghost. Like, you can barely see my facial features. It's basically two eyes and like a shadow beneath my nose. You can kind of see my mouth moving. But yeah, I don't know. Not that much has happened. Trevor Story opting into his 2 years and $50 million is the only bit of news that's happened so far. So what we're going to do here, we'll talk a little bit about that. See where it takes us, but we got a Who Says No on the back half of this episode, the first Who Says No of the offseason, and we're going to drop that for you midweek. Usually we're going to do these at the end of the week, but drop this one for you midweek. We'll have some more news, the Giolito qualifying offer decision, some other stuff hopefully by Friday that we'll have to talk about. So we'll do that today, but fellas, initial reactions from you guys for Trevor Story opting into the final 2 years of his deal?
My initial reaction is you look like a polar bear in a blizzard right now. That it's bright. The lighting is bright, but you look good.
But what changed? Nothing changed. Here's the thing. I got the new backdrop. That's the only thing that's changed. I don't know. I was doing Nesson this morning and I get on and they're like, can you like dim your lights? And my lights don't have dimmers. And so I go, and meanwhile, this is all like in a commercial break. So it's like time and clocks are ticking. I go down. They're like, try turning the lights off. I go turn the lights off. It's dark. They're like, no, don't do that. Go back. I think the solution in the future is I might get a ring light and podcast in the dark outside of the ring light.
I think you need a ring of darkness or something. But anyway, your question was, what was my initial to Trevor story?
Like I got frostbite.
You know, I initially in before 2025, I thought there was absolutely no shot, not a chance that Trevor Story would ever even consider opting out because of the years prior. And then the more we spoke about it, the more I was kind of open to the idea of like, maybe there's an off chance if he really goes off in 2025 that maybe he would opt out. But then you think of the lockout and you think Trevor Story's in his 30s. Is a team really going to want to pay for him at that age at his position, shortstop? I don't think so. So not super surprised that he's opting in. As a fan of the Boston Red Sox, I'm happy. He was awesome in 2025. I think if there's a situation where the stats don't tell the full story, it's Trevor. He was way better than the numbers would tell you, and he was great in the playoffs too. It was brief, but he was really good. So I'm happy that he's back. Sure, we'll get into it. I don't know if I would put him at shortstop to begin 2026, but in a vacuum, I think it's a good thing that Trevor Story's back. He's a good ball player. He's healthy. He produced last year. Good aura guy. Good vibe guy. He's very liked in the clubhouse. I love Story Camp, so happy about it.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. I didn't... Throughout the year, I wasn't super worried about him opting out, I don't really think. One thing, and this it was brief because it was just a day or two, but once Ha Sung Kim opted out of his deal, that was a place where I'm like, back down south.
So that deal was for $16 million, right? He opted out of a $16 million.
Yep.
And he's going to pursue free agency. Yeah, I agree with that, Pat. Yeah.
So my thing was what he opted out of in the team he opted away from. Because the Braves, they're never, historically, they're not really a team that breaks the bank with marquee free agent signings. But they do have an opening in short. It is down south where Trevor's from, back in the National League. Like, that was definitely a spot where I could have seen him landing had he opted out. But he opted in, and I'm glad he did. I mean, he hit almost 270, 25 home runs, almost 100 RBI, 30 bags. The defense, I'm still really worried about. Third percentile, outs above average. Arm strength was sub 40th percentile. So there's like some concern about, I don't know, defense at short, but I think they move him. We'll get to that. But in terms of for the 2026 Red Sox, no, I mean, he's a guy you want on the team. Bregman gets a lot of praise because he kind of just came in out of nowhere and was such a mentor for these guys. But Story does his own kind of mentoring each and every year, Story Camp, with Marcelo, like with all these guys. So having him back, having a leader from last year's team, if they do lose someone like Bregman, it's massive. And cherry on top is he had a phenomenal 2025 season, and even a minor step back, ideally with some additions, you can live with what he provides.
Okay, yeah. The way I'll two things here. First off, I remember early in the season, we had a discussion on this podcast. It was right before he went ice cold. Like it was basically the entire month of May. If I'm not mistaken, he was completely cold. Right before that, he was red hot around Marathon Monday. And we had a discussion on this podcast about whether he would opt out. And the bet that we made was if he has a 4.5 war season, does he opt out? He had a 3.8 war season. If he'd played better defense this year, gets to that 4.5 war, like he was a borderline opt-out candidate. Like the offense he provided, if he swung it the way he swung it this year and played defense the way he did it every other year of his contract, like he probably opts out of this deal. But obviously, you know, the metrics didn't support the defense this year. My thought is I think I could have gone either way with whether I wanted him to opt in or opt out. The only thing I didn't want is if he opted out for the Red Sox to trigger that third year of his deal. Yeah. I'm happy to have him back. He's an important player. He contributes to the team both on and off the field for everything you guys just said. Story Camp, the veteran presence, the bat was one of the only power hitters in the lineup. last year. And if he leaves, guess what? There's just another 25 home runs that you need to figure out how to fill in. So it is good that he's back. The defense, I think this is where we go next, because you guys are both saying that you would move him off of shortstop to second base this year for opening day. Do I have that right based on your guys' takes?
Yeah, for opening, maybe not for opening day. I mean, if it were up to me, yes, for opening day. But I think that's, you know, okay, if it were up to me, I would say Marcelo Meyer, if you're healthy, you are the guy that we're investing a ton in, you know, future-wise. You're the shortstop. Look how good Marcelo Meyer was at third base and second. Those are his secondary positions. Put him at shortstop where his value is the highest. I think he'll be great. And on top of that, Trevor Story played second base for the Red Sox when Xander was on the team. He was outstanding, and that was with a bum elbow, too. So I have no concerns at all about Story's ability to play second base. I just think that if you're the Red Sox, you kind of have to start thinking, we want to contend in 2026, but we also have to start setting up for this long-term contention window. And in that window, we, the Boston Red Sox, are planning on having Marcelo Meyer be our shortstop. So why wait when you have a guy like Trevor Story who's in, you know, you could say the twilight of his career, but defensively at short, it was very, very inconsistent. He had his moments. He wasn't bad. It was just, you didn't feel great about it as a Red Sox fan. We were talking about, does he have the yips heading into October? I'm sure you both remember that conversation. So to put a bow on it, yeah, I would put Marcelo Meyer at shortstop. I put Trevor Story at second base. And based on the way that his contract has gone, I think he would accept that.
Yeah, if it were up to me, I'm putting him at second. And the reason I say that is in part due to, I wouldn't even call it a full-blown decline, just a little drop in production defensively the latter half of the year. The yips thing, he made a lot of phenomenal plays. But I also do wonder how many of those are just straight up due to his like poor range at short, like his athletic ability made up for the poor range. He can hold his own over there, but for me, it's you're in this kind of new era where you have Roman, Marcelo, hopefully Campbell, Narvaez. Like this is this kind of ushering into this new era. And with that, you kind of want all your ducks in a row. You want the guys who are up and will be here for the next 5-10 years. To be where they should be. And to me, that's Marcelo at short. He was so fucking good at third and second that to see him in his natural position of shortstop, like it's this guy, like we're talking about someone who might be like a Gold Glove candidate over there while holding his own at the plate. So for me, just getting that squared away, start that process as soon as you can. Because if you go into the season with Story at short, Marcelo at second, and then Story's defense really drops, and that's like a mid-season kind of switch, it's a weird dynamic. It's a weird thing. I would just kickstart it from the first day of training camp. Trevor, you're second base. Marcelo, you're shortstop.
And not for nothing. We all remember Rafael Devers was moved. You know, the attitude problems, the unwillingness to move positions. What a statement it would make if Trevor Story, who was one of your main guys in 2025, a year when you, the Boston Red Sox, made the playoffs, if he said, hey, for the sake of the team, for the sake of winning, I am going to move to second base to clear the way for Marcelo Meyer to play shortstop. I think that matters. And people, you can scoff all you want at that, roll your eyes all you want at that, but this is high-level athletics. I think that stuff is extremely important. So on top of being a better fit on the field, I think that sends a great message to the rest of the organization if Story is, you know, openly willing to move to second base.
I want to play devil's advocate here. And I'll preface it by saying that I think Marcelo Meyer in 2026 is better suited to play shortstop than Trevor Story. So in a perfect world, Marcelo's your shortstop, Story's your second baseman. I have zero doubts about Trevor Story's ability to play second base. Not only was he phenomenal at second base when he played there years ago, but he's been a quality shortstop for years. Like he can play second base. Zero doubt in my mind about that. The one thing that gives me pause, it's neither of their abilities to defend. Like I think when they're both out there, your defense would be really good. My issue is that Marcelo Meyer right now isn't proven enough to play full-time shortstop. Like last year, he against lefties, he hit 154 with a 416 OPS against lefties. And to me, shortstop is not the spot you want to be platooning. if Trevor Story's moving to second base, like you got to move him to second base. Like I don't think bouncing back and forth, you know, when you've got a guy who, you know, he's been a shortstop his whole career except for that 1 year at second base, back and forth at those two positions in a platoon situation, not like he plays shortstop in a pinch. Like it'd be, you know, Meyer plays against the righties and against lefties, you got Story at short and Romy at second, unless you're playing David Hamilton over there. Like that's what it would be. To me, shortstop is maybe the one position, because you're obviously catchers aren't going to play every day. Shortstop is kind of the one position on the field where I want as much consistency as possible. And you saw it last year. I mean, Trevor Story played practically every single game last year in the name of that. They wanted as much consistency in the infield as possible because the infield defense was so brutal. You needed that consistency at shortstop. So I want Marcelo at short, but to me, I don't think like, and I've changed my opinion on this because I was all in on Meyer at shortstop, but I heard, so I forget who made the point. I wish I could credit it because it was a good point. Like, if you can't have him there at shortstop full time, I just don't think you can move him there. Maybe in the middle of the season, if he's hitting lefties, you can make the switch then because obviously Story can play second. We know that. And obviously Meyer can play short. We know that. But I don't know if I'm ready to do it yet. Sammy?
So to the devil's advocate, your advocation of the devil.
Oh, God.
If he's playing great defense at shortstop, can't you live with him not hitting lefties very well?
So I think the answer is yes, but you're relying on a lot of other things. Like, for instance, you've got a center fielder who you've got out there for his defense, and we don't know if he's going to hit. Sometimes he looks like he can hit, sometimes he can't. You've got a catcher in Narvaez who hit for a good amount of last year, but at times was also a guy who was there for his defense. I can't live with three spots at the same time, or even four if someone else is cold. I don't know. Three, four spots at the same time where it's you're here for your defense, you're not really going to hit.
Yeah.
If those guys hit, then yes. The answer would be yes.
I mean, Narvaez was an above average major league bat last year. Sedan improved big time. I hear what you're saying. I agree with you. I'm just not sure that is what's going on here. The problem with, and I'm not saying you're wrong, Gordo, I just don't understand what the alternative would be. Like, how much better is it if Marcelo is playing second base and he's platoon, and then you have Romy at second base, who's, you know, he's capable defensively over there, but is he great? I'm not sure. And then you got Story at shortstop, kind of a guy who's, you know, at least trending the wrong direction defensively. Like, at what point do you say, this is a premium defensive spot, we have to go with Marcelo Meyer, he's going to hit righties well, eventually we hope he'll hit lefties. Like I think that might be the way to go. And this is not my take. That's how I feel. I'm just kind of like, the more I think about it, the more I'm kind of like, just take the defense. At least you know what you're getting at that point. And it's an important defensive position.
And you'd be developing the guy. Like at some point in time, Marcelo Meyer is going to have to hit lefties. I mean, I don't know if he's ready to do that right away, but at some point in time, he's going to have to do it. If the defense is that much better than Story, what better time than the present?
It's kind of like Willier. It's kind of like Willier Abreu, where you see the great defense. He's awesome at defense. He's 2-for-2 with gold gloves. That's kind of insane. He's won 2 gold gloves in 2 years. Crushes righties. And you're like, when are you just going to let him hit off of lefties? We've seen him do it a little bit. At what point do you take the training wheels off? And they had the same conversation with Rafael Devers. In 2017, he comes up, he's basically a platoon. Then by the end of 2018, he's playing every day. It's just a tough balancing act of when do you pull the plug on the platoon situation and just make this guy your full-time shortstop, right field, third base, whatever it is.
The other thing too with Marcelo not hitting lefties is the difference between him and, we'll say, like Rafaela. Marcelo can truly hit right-handed pitching. He can't. Sedan going into last year, and he was better this year, but like he can't really hit, period. So, but the good thing is, and again, like this is with the roster we have now, like we're having this conversation with no everyday first base and no real DH
or third base.
So if you have, yeah, right. So like if you have guys who can hit lefties, like that is a luxury for his defense that you can live with a lack of bat until he develops a bat against left-handed pitching. You can't. The other thing too is, even, I don't think it's even remotely possible. But if they don't make a big splash, let's just say they just bring Bregman back and get Shea Bieber, something like that. You do have Romy and you do have Ref, and you know, you have
don't have Ref yet. Guess.
True. But like you do have like a lefty lineup where you can kind of hide Marcelo's bat against left-handed pitching. So for me, like his bat period is good. His bat against lefties is bad. But you should have enough in the lineup where you can live with him playing every single day, even against lefties.
It would certainly help if they got, let's say they brought Bregman back and signed Pete Alonso. Now the middle of your order, and let's say they bring back Ref Snyder, you've already got Romy, Story's still here. Like you've got some mashers against lefties. Like Sadon, I know, didn't necessarily have the splits where he like hammers lefties or anything like that. I think he actually neutral. Was better against right. Is he neutral?
Pretty neutral, okay. Yeah.
Like so he's not, but you can hold your own against lefties and Narvaez is a right-handed hitter too. So like you can make it work. It helps. Like I've always been of the mindset that you can have dudes that you hide in the lineup to have their defense. Like the Red Sox did it with Jackie Bradley Jr. They won a World Series doing it. But that team had Mookie Betts and J.D. Martinez and Xander Bogaerts and prime Andrew Benintendi, and the list goes on, an elite platoon at first. The Red Sox of 2025 didn't have that. So when guys like Sadon didn't hit, like you were, you know, 7, 8, 9, when those guys were giving you nothing, you really didn't have any power in the middle of the order. Your lineup went ice cold. Like you were relying on those dudes to be productive because for that lineup to score runs, they needed to be a 1-9 force. It wasn't going to be, you know, 1-4 putting up all the damage and the bottom of the order doesn't need to do as much. Like everyone needed to be on.
This isn't a perfect comparison at all, but the Mariners, if you watch the Seattle Mariners in the playoffs, that's part of what did them in is they had a good 1-5 or 6, but 7, 8, 9 did nothing. Like not even.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
Slightly below average, around average. Nothing. They did nothing. And that's kind of, that was the weakness for those guys. And that's what bounced them in the end. It's part of what bounced them in the end, I should say. So I agree with you, Gordo. I don't mind having guys who their specialty is defense, but like it can't be three guys in your order. Like if it's Carlos Narvaez, where they're slightly above average, but offensively, but their best skill is defense, I think that's fine. You could have three of those guys. They're not killing you. Maybe they're not helping you a ton offensively, but they're not hurting you. So yes, I hear what you're saying here.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting. Like, I truly think they could go either way with this. And, you know, obviously Trevor Story as a leader of this team has earned the right to have that discussion and not necessarily have it be forced on them. Like, if it's something they're interested in doing, they should learn from their experience with Rafael Devers and have a discussion with Trevor Story. And hopefully it was something they discussed with him before he made the decision to opt in. Hopefully they sat down and talked about their future plans for him and where he's going to play in the infield. But we don't know. Like, we have no idea at this point. Like, we can hope, but, and hopefully they've learned, but
hopefully
who knows. Do we want to transition into our first Who Says No the offseason?
Yeah, baby. I'm so excited for this.
I am right now poolside in Miami.
Hi, I'm Bo Bichette. This is Who Says No on Play Tessie.
Shout out to almost World Series champion and current free agent Bo Bichette for doing the intro.
All right, boys. That is awesome. I'm so glad we got Bo to do that. Bo Bichette, if you're listening, and I know you're listening, he can't wait to tune in. Thank you for doing that.
Shout out to Bo Bichette. If Bo Bichette comes to the Red Sox, we can redo the whole intro. We can, I don't
yeah.
know.
Yeah, that's going to happen. All right.
He's totally coming to Boston, guys.
Surely, especially with Story opting in. There's plenty of room for Bo Bichette. Sorry, Joe. It's just not going to happen. All right.
We play third base. Bradford did put Bo Bichette's name in his article today, so we can't discount it. I don't think they would do it, but we can't discount it.
All right. You guys ready?
All right, let's hear
this
it, Sammy.
This is if you're new to Play Tessie, this is our bread and butter. This is what people love, is the Who Says No. Or hate. Sometimes they actually a lot of the time they hate it. Either way, people have strong opinions. But here we go. So this deal I'm about to present, this coincides with how I have maintained all along that I don't think Jaron Duran's value is as high as a lot of Red Sox fans think. However, what I'm about to say is the upper echelon of what I think the Red Sox could get for him. So here we go. Jaron Duran being traded to the Kansas City Royals for Vinny Pasquantino and the 9th-ranked prospect in the Kansas City Royals system, catcher Ramon Ramirez. So let me explain. In this deal, it's basically a swap of big league bats with a prospect thrown in. The Red Sox have a surplus of outfielders, as we've been saying for how long? At least a year, probably more. In a vacuum, Jaron Duran, he's the best player involved in this deal. He posted roughly double the war of Vinny Pasquantino last year. But like I said, this is about fit. This is not, you know, one for one. And I think, again, I don't think Duran's value is as high as people think. So think fit here. The Royals, if they no longer have Vinny Pasquantino, that opens up first base for them. That is where Jack Caglione is going to play long term. They tried him in the outfield. Not good. He did not look good out there. Kind of like the Christian Campbell situation where it was so bad that you feel like you want to just pull the plug already. So makes sense that the Royals would be at least open to trading Vinny Pasquantino. And this is a guy that the Red Sox have shown interest in the past. Excuse me. So why this makes sense for the Red Sox, it solves the mystery of first base. Right now we're talking, is it Casas? Is it Campbell? Is it Okamoto? Who is it? Who's it going to be? This would solve it. Vinny Pasquantino coming off a 32 home run, 120 OPS season, consistently hits the ball hard, doesn't strike out very often. That's great. Plus, his 32 home runs, they're all pulled to right field, which I know is going to set off a lot of alarms in Red Sox fans' heads. Don't worry. Kansas City has a big right field too. Did the overlay. I think he would lose one or two home runs at Fenway if he played there 81 times a year. So I still think he'd be a 30 home run guy on the Red Sox. Good fit. Why does it make sense for the Royals? They think they're going to contend. If they're trading Vinny Pasquantino, they're probably going to want a big league bat or a big league arm, a big league player at least in return. So Duran allows them to move Jack Caglione to first. He takes a corner outfield spot. That makes sense for the Royals. Red Sox get Pasquantino. Great. Last part of the trade, Red Sox acquire 20-year-old catcher Ramon Ramirez. This is mostly just to even out the trade because, like I said, Duran, I don't think it's controversial to say he's the best player involved in this deal. Ramirez, he is a good catching prospect, but he's blocked big time by the Royals. They have Blake Mitchell and Carter Jensen, both of whom are top 10 catching prospects in the world. So it's not unrealistic to think they would trade Ramirez. Great arm, a little bit of pop in the bat. Not a superstar catching prospect, but he would easily be the best catching prospect in the Red Sox organization, which if you were looking at their minor league, their pipeline, the place where they're lacking is undoubtedly catcher. So to put a bow on it, Jaron Duran, outfielder to the Royals for first baseman Vinny Pasquantino and catching prospect Ramon Ramirez, who are headed to the Red Sox. Who says no?
First off, 2 points. First point, love this because I love when we have big leaguers going back and forth in these trades. It's way more fun that way, even though they don't happen as often in Major League Baseball. But with Duran's case and a lot of suitors who could be looking for Duran, it actually might make some sense. And I think the format here kind of works. Second point, Salvador Perez just got extended, which you could look at for multiple factors in the trade. First off, further blocking catchers, he still catches. Second off, further blocks DH, which probably even more significant as it pertains to this trade, because if Jack Caglione's going to play first base, Salvador is going to need to DH a lot. Like it's going to be tough to juggle.
Even better. I cooked this up before the Salvi extension was announced like an hour or two ago. So even better.
My question for you is, how many years of control does Pasquantino have left? Duran has
That's
three.
Great. I'm glad you asked. Exact same amount of control. They have basically the same contract. Duran makes a couple million more per year than Pasquantino, but control-wise, exactly the same.
Okay. For me, my thought on the Red Sox trading Duran, first off, he is the odd man out in the outfield. He is. I know Cotillo's been floating some of this, so there could be something to it. But unless like the gap in value between like Sadon or Willier and Duran is massive, then Duran is the odd man out. He's the one who should go, and you can fill a need using him. And if you can't fill a need using him, you get prospects to backfill the prospects you trade to fill your need. In this case, you fill the need. I think value-wise, the Royals might be doing a little better, and that's totally fine. Because if you're filling a need in a win-now window, and you're getting a controllable bat who can hit for power, I'm okay with losing, quote-unquote, losing the value if it helps your team. And I think it does. So I think if anyone's going to say no, maybe it's the Royals, but I don't know. I don't really have a X team says no. I kind of like it.
Gordo, I agree. Value-wise, it's a win for the Royals. But like I said, it's a fit thing. And is there a first baseman out there that the Red Sox could get at that low of a price that won't hamstring them to add other pieces that would be better than Vinny Pasquantino? I'm not sure. He had a really good 2025. Like I said, 32 home runs, 120 OPS plus. And this is a guy who there's room to grow. Like, we don't know if this is the end. Like, this was his best season, and he's still young. He's younger than Duran, but the contract, like I said, I kind of buried the lead there. The same amount of control. So, this would open a lot of doors for the Red Sox to add pitching, add elsewhere in the lineup, and also not be hamstrung like we were talking about last episode when we were talking about Giolito and his potential $22 million qualifying offer. How would that affect things? Vinny Pasquantino, for the kind of player he is, he's making pennies for multiple years.
I want to get Pat's take, and then I have another wrinkle in this whole thing that I'd be curious to get your take, Sammy, on. But thank you for giving me a 30 home run bat. Appreciate it.
So structure-wise, I like trading Duran for a cost-controlled power hitting first base or DH is honestly not something I thought of for me. Mm-hmm. It's like in a package for maybe like a higher reliever in prospects or like a mid-level starter, something like that. My thing with the Royals fit. First off, if the Sox got Vinny P, love it. Awesome personality. So like selfishly for us, that'd be awesome. Power bat, plays every day, doesn't strike out a ton. Would love that. From the Royals perspective, I don't think they move off of Vinny for Duran. And the only reason I say that is Jack Caglione, frankly, sucked ass when he was in the majors. He was a negative 1.3 war, 49 OPS plus.
Oh.
So he's a guy that, like, is this a guy that maybe you put back in AAA, work on some things, that kind of thing. Like maybe like the Christian Campbell route. I think he inevitably figures it out because the power is just insane. But the bigger reason I think they do this is Kansas City's not a team that's going to go break the bank with free agent money. Their entire roster, they had three guys hit more than 9 home runs.
Oh, wow.
So trading away from the very little power they have for someone like Duran when they already have the speed in Bobby Witt and Michael Franco or Michael Garcia doesn't make a lot of sense to me. So I think the Royals say no, but the framework of the deal I like. Like if just throwing a name out, it's a step down so that it has to be more added, but like a Spencer Steer in Cincinnati type or something like that. Like the framework I like. The fit for the Royals to move Vinny with their existing holes, I think they say no, but I like the trade.
I have a question for Pat before I get back to the wrinkle I was going to get to. Pat, what would you say if Sammy had proposed Duran for Soderstrom in Sacramento? Who? It's very funny because it's like the same exact situation. They had multiple first basemen. They stuck one in the outfield, but the difference here is he actually played it pretty well.
So my thing with Soderstrom is he kind of has the Coors Field effect to me right now because he's playing in a minor league stadium.
It's fair.
So like it's fair to question whether the power is legit. If he was guaranteed to carry that power over, that's something that, yeah, that makes sense. But for me, I'm just a little bit sketchy where this was kind of like a breakout year for Soderstrom and it just coincidentally happened in a minor league ballpark.
It's fair. He's also 23. Too. So you really don't even know who he is.
Yeah.
By the way, almost birthday to Tyler Soderstrom, turns 24 in November.
Huge.
Shout out.
I was about to say that. You took the words right out of my mouth.
Dick, you didn't.
Pat, that's a great point about the power with the Royals. The way I'd counter, and I'm not saying this is how I feel, but if they were to acquire Duran, the thought would be Duran's a 20 home run guy himself and Caglione, he's already been called up. This is the Royals. They're not a big market team. They're probably putting a lot of stock into Caglione being the next big power bat. They also have Salvi, too, like we mentioned earlier. So I'm not saying they're a team that has a lot of power. I'm just saying, like, yeah, they lost Pasquantino. That would hurt them in the power department. But it's not like they don't have anything coming up the pipeline to help them with that power outage that they're dealing with. Also, these catching prospects I mentioned, both of them have pop. Jensen and Mitchell. These are guys who are big time prospects in an organization that doesn't have a ton going for it. So there's ways around it. Everything you said is correct, Pat. I'm just saying there are ways around it if you're the Kansas City Royals.
Okay, Sammy, here's my question for you. So this is kind of an avenue for the offseason that I haven't considered because every time I think about power bats the Red Sox could get, I'm looking at the free agent market. I'm looking at Schwarber. I'm looking at Alonso. I'm looking at Suarez. I'm looking at Murakami. Those are the guys who I look at and I know are going to be 30 home run guys. If they got Pasquantino, MLB Trade Rumors projects him in arbitration to get $5.4 million. How does that change the rest of your offseason? Like, I assume you're still bringing Bregman back. What do you do pitching-wise if you're making the trade for the bat here?
How does it change your offseason? Well, it means you're not allocating 25 plus million to Pete Alonso or around 30 million to exactly. Kyle Schwarber, and you have that money to either, you know, extend Pasquantino or sign a big pitcher or trade for a pitcher and extend him. It just provides a lot of flexibility. Or like there's a million different ways you could go with it. And when you get a guy like Vinny, a guy who you know now can hit 30 home runs, who is on this kind of rookie-ish deal when you're not making a lot of money. It just opens up so many doors for where the Red Sox would just have so much more freedom and an ability to sign or extend these guys that they want to have. And like we spoke about last episode, this is kind of a go-for-it year. And part of that is because of 2027. We are all in agreement that there's a very high chance that maybe you don't miss the whole season, but there's going to be some sort of lockout. I like the idea of Vinny Pasquantino, that cheap deal, good power, good hard contact too. He's not just a power guy. He's a guy who doesn't strike out a lot, hits the ball hard, has a really consistent high exit velocity rate. So it just makes sense. And it's a guy the Red Sox have shown interest in, too. And Duran for the Royals, like the similar contract with Pasquantino, I think it's a difference of like $2 million, which in Major League Baseball terms is like $5 in real human terms. So I don't know. I've been thinking about Pasquantino for months before the season ended, just as a guy who I like personality-wise. He seems cool. He seems like a fun guy, like a guy that the clubhouse would love. And that's on top of all the production. So I think he makes sense for the Red Sox. And I think Jaron Duran, that speed, big outfield in that ballpark, he would motorboat that place.
I think the other... you tell him that...
In the midst of this power hitting first base discussion, Tristan Casas just posted something very strange on Instagram.
I was going to ask about him next, actually. That was where I was going.
What is it?
So it's a picture of him hitting a home run at Fenway, and the caption says, "If we're going to have any chance at something decent, it's stuff like this that needs to be addressed. I'm going to try and be as transparent as possible, ... within reason. No delusion, just normalizing the tough conversation."
I don't like that.
What does that mean?
I don't like that at all.
Wait, hold on, Pat. Read it one more time.
If we're going to have any chance at something decent, it's stuff like this that needs to be addressed. I'm going to try and be as transparent as possible, ... within reason. No delusion, just normalizing the tough conversation.
Is this a guy coming off an injury who believes in himself, rightfully so, but the team is being a little more conservative with him? That's how that reads right off the rip, with no other evidence. I'm hearing this for the first time. That's just how that reads to me.
I honestly don't know. Like, that could be about anything. That could be literally about anything.
I mean, not anything, but yeah.
I mean, do we think they like floated? Like that's weird. Because like I don't think that they're gonna like non-tender him, obviously, but like
we're also taking Tristan Casas quote and trying to decipher a Tristan.
You can't. But speaking,
but you gotta wonder, like, going into the offseason, if they have like floated some things, like, we want you to get full normal playing time, not just a rehab assignment at AAA. That's a weird caption. I know they're weird.
All his Instagram captions are weird, though.
Can I ask a question? Let's say Casas comes in to spring training. I don't know Pat, maybe you know. I don't know the medical science behind this. Let's say Casas comes into camp and he's close to 100%. Regardless of how he does in spring training. Well, let's say he's average. He's okay in spring training. I hate this. Has he earned the first base job?
No.
I think it depends on... Like, if we talk about it in the sense of Pasquantino.
No. Then if Pasquantino comes in, then it's no. But I'm saying right now, with the roster as is, it's him, Campbell.
Right now, the answer is yes, he's your first baseman. But I think there's going to be someone that changes that answer. Whether it be Pasquantino in your scenario, whether it be Alonso, whether it be Eugenio Suarez, Murakami, Okamoto. Like, there's a lot of options that, to me... Like, the move with Casas is to put him in a position where he can earn maybe some first base, but a lot of DH reps, and maybe you put him in a position where he has to start the season in AAA. And that's coming from me. Like, anyone who's listened to this podcast knows I'm a huge Tristan Casas guy. But, yeah, I see no issue with starting him in AAA and making him prove that he's not just healthy, but the player that we all expected him to be. Because with the torn patella tendon, like, there's no guarantees. And he already missed basically the entire year before that. Like, we don't know how much his ceiling has been impacted. Like, Breslow's saying it wasn't, but he's going to say that. Like, we don't know anything.
Of all the tough questions surrounding the Red Sox in the offseason, there's a lot. There's a lot of tough questions with this team. I think the single toughest question is, what the hell do you do with Tristan Casas? Because this is a guy who has been a top prospect. He was a top prospect in the organization for years, and his bat was touted for a long time. And he's also supposed to be a good defender.
And he was good. He performed at the big league level. He did.
He has an 800 on the dot. I don't even need to look that up. I've looked up so much Tristan. I'm so confused, and, you know, like, I have such high expectations and a low floor. I am so confused. With Tristan Casas, he has an 800 OPS during his time in Major League Baseball, but he has barely played. The ceiling is extremely high. The floor is extremely low. What the hell do you do with this guy?
Don't forget, and I know I've referenced this a lot last year, and it made a lot more sense to reference it last year, but I'll do it again, even though we're getting further and further from it. But the second half of 2023, 54 games, 211 plate appearances, he had a 1034 OPS, 15 home runs in 54 games. Like,
right, and that is the really, perfect that's encapsulation.
A guy, he can be a really good player, but we don't know what he is anymore.
Gordo, but that is the perfect encapsulation of Tristan Casas. You just listed off those numbers. Those are outstanding numbers, great numbers, but they're from 2023. Yep. What the hell do we think about this guy? It's crazy, and like we all like he, nice guy. He's been good to us. We want him to succeed. We're all Casas guys who think he's talented, who believe in him as a big league baseball player. But that injury, man, that was, you don't see many injuries like that in the sport of baseball, period. Not just Major League Baseball, period, in baseball. That is just about as bad as it gets.
Yeah, and when you parlay it with the fact that he missed basically the entire year before with the rib thing, like we just don't know. Like as much as I want to believe in this guy and believe in the product that I saw in 2023, a lot has changed since then. Like it doesn't change the potential he had at that point that I think in a lot of realities, in a lot of universes, he gets there. Mm-hmm. I hope he still does, but I'm not going to sit here and act like I've got a crystal ball and say that he, like last year before he went down with the knee injury, I felt like I had a crystal ball that showed me this guy is going to be fine and he's going to hit the shit out of the ball at some point. But mm-hmm. Now I'm not going to sit here and blindly tell you that I know, because I don't.
Right. So when you combine the high ceiling, the low floor, the not knowing what you're going to get, the lockout looming in 2027, all of those things put together and the injury, that is why when I talk about what can you do with Jaren Duran in a trade, that's why I'm looking at a guy like Vinny Pasquantino, who you know can jump in 2026 and you know he'll produce and you know he's a guy that you can rely on. So I hate saying it because Casas is awesome dude. Great story. Like, we want him to succeed. We like how weird he is. We like that he's abnormal, and we like that it annoys people. We like that some people love it. We like that he's different. But you can't deny the massive, massive amount of question marks that come along with this guy, and that's just the reality of it. Hate to say it.
All right, my question for you guys, would you consider trading him? Because I wouldn't.
Oh, yes.
Okay, I'll give you my reason why I would not, and Pat, I want to hear why you would. I would not because I don't think you can get much of anything for him. He has options. Just put him in AAA. Why would you consider trading him?
So, I mean, my reason is it feels like every avenue that is being floated for them to upgrade in the power department, it's first base or DH. The thing that stinks with Tristan is if that is the route they go, first base or DH, there's not an everyday spot for someone like Tristan. There should be a caveat in my answer. If you can get what you think is fair value, yes. And I'm not even saying like set a king's ransom, trade him for a crazy high price. Like if there's a package out there where it helps you now and in the future, and you feel that it suits what Tristan Casas is at this point, yes. Are you trading him for nothing just to get him off the roster? No, okay. Absolutely not. Yeah. No.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Like last year, they're floating him to the Mariners. It's like, trade us Brian Wu and we'll trade Tristan Casas. Like, okay, yes, if you want to float. I mean, obviously, you're not going to float him out for Brian Wu at this point. But like, if you can get legitimate value and your upgrades are first base and DH, then like, by all means, like do what you think you got to do. But yeah, I just don't think that is there at this point. And I feel like if you're trading him, it would be like let's say they traded for Bryce Harper. Like could Tristan Casas, especially because you're bringing in a first baseman, could Tristan Casas, drafted by Dave Dombrowski, be a guy that Dombrowski is like, okay, like toss this into a trade, like not even as the centerpiece. Like he's not going to get you Bryce. I'm saying as a throw-in, like that's the scenario where I could see them actually moving him. It's like, oh, to put it in football terms, I don't know why this is on top of my head because I just saw a quote, but it was like the Jets or it was the Colts were, I think they were telling Josina Anderson something like, oh, we really didn't want to give up AD Mitchell, but including him put the trade over the top, so we had to do it. I feel like that's the situation where you potentially trade Tristan Casas. If it puts you over the top to get a guy that you really, really, really want, are you going to let him stand in the way of that? I don't think they would, especially after shopping him a year ago.
Yeah, the Red Sox are kind of in a spot where even if you not sell low on Casas, but not sell to the maximum of his price, I guess, if that makes sense, they can do that. They have a lot of talent at this point. So, to answer your question, Gordo, I would lean towards no. I'd rather not see the Red Sox move Casas because I can't really envision a scenario where it's not them selling low. But on the off chance a team is willing to pay for that 800 OPS on a rookie contract and kind of pay for the guy that they think Tristan Casas will become, which is very unlikely, then yeah, I'd be open to it as a fan of the Boston Red Sox, but I just don't see that happening. So if I were to answer your question, I would say probably not.
Did we put a bow on the trade?
Yeah, who says no? Come on. I think I cooked here, boys.
No, I like it. I think it's a good one. I think it's the perfect combination of realistic, like it's not bullshit. Like there's trades where the value is equal on both sides, but it's still bullshit and no team, like it's not realistic. This one is the perfect combo of major leaguer for major leaguer. I could actually see it and the value is close. So if I was going to say a team says no, I would lean Royals because I think the Red Sox have a little bit more urgency to make a trade like this, but I'm not even going to sit here and say that the Royals definitely say no. So I think you cook, Sammy.
Yeah, I see the Royals say no. And not because I don't really know what they think of Vinny Pasquantino because they have Caglione. I feel like if they thought that was going to be like the two guys in the heart of their lineup, they wouldn't have extended Salvi because Salvi is, I mean, he's a DH at this point.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
So I don't know how they view Pasquantino, but for them to move that kind of power, I would think it would be for some kind of package for an upgrade and something that's not far removed in the pipeline that can help them this year and for years coming. One quick thing, going back to the Casas thing, I just thought of it, but this is, Gordo, to kind of your point, as like a piece that could put something over the edge. If they get involved in Mackenzie Gore talks, Toboney knows Casas. Like that's somewhere like along that where I could see, yeah, like trade Casas.
Yeah, that's people that know. I mean, it's kind of the same thing as I was saying with Dombrowski. If you have guys that know him, I mean, obviously, if he's been in your system, you fell in love with what Tristan Casas could be. The Red Sox certainly were never going to consider trading him up until last year for a reason. So, all right,
what are the odds that in this trade discussion, Salvador Perez gets extended moments before we start recording, and then Tristan Casas is a cryptic Instagram post? This is like. This is weird, great.
Right? Very odd.
This is great for podcasting. Thank you, Salvi and Tristan.
Shout out.
It's okay not to be perfect with finances. Experian is your big financial friend and here to help. Did you know you can get matched with credit cards on the app? Some cards are labeled no ding decline, which means if you're not approved, they won't hurt your credit scores. Download the Experian app for free today. Applying for no ding decline cards won't hurt your credit scores if you aren't initially approved. Initial approval will result in a hard inquiry, which may impact your credit scores. Experian.
The holidays mean more travel, more shopping, more time online, and more personal info in more places that could expose you more to identity theft. But LifeLock monitors millions of data points per second. If your identity is stolen, our U.S.-based restoration specialists will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Don't face drained accounts, fraudulent loans, or financial losses alone. Get more holiday fun and less holiday worry with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/podcast. Terms apply.
All right, let's get to some Nuff Said. I'll go first for this one. Completely unrelated to baseball and completely unrelated to anything. I was actually just thinking this watching Breaking Bad the other day. Why is it that on TV, when people have phone conversations and the conversation ends... Or not even the conversation doesn't even necessarily end. Someone just says something and they'll just hang up and like no one ever says goodbye. Like they just hang up the phone as if everyone knows that the conversation is over. Why is that?
It's aura, dude, for aura.
I mean, it is for aura, but like, why don't we do that in real life? Why don't we ever end phone calls for aura in real life? We always say goodbye. Like, why?
Okay, next time you and I talk on the phone, Gordo, I'm just gonna hang up like when I feel the conversation's over.
But like in real life, if that happens, like my phone will go bup, bup, bup. And like that's the ultimate sign of like, oh shit, like he hung up on me. Like, you know that noise?
It's if like I did that beeps. If I did that to my mom, I think she might kill me. Just hung up. Like, yeah, today was good. Click. She'd be like, you kidding me, Sam?
You know who that'd be a good question for? Lucas Giolito.
That would be a good question for Lucas Giolito. We should hit him up and ask him that, and then be like, "So how's the elbow?
And how's the qualifying?"
Two questions.
Offer?
What's up, Big LG? Two questions for you. Why don't people say goodbye on the phone at TV shows? How's the elbow?
Bang! You pick, answer them both. You get to choose which one you answer first, though.
Like completely unrelated, Lucas. How does $22 million in 1 year of work sound to you, my friend? Good? Good?
No answer? Not gonna
Okay. I'll go. Pat, you might relate to this. I don't know if you guys have started watching this. The Chair Company, the new Tim Robinson show.
Yep.
Awesome. Awesome. Completely not what I expected it to be, but still hilarious. Great watch. It's kind of like I Think You Should Leave crossed with Friendship. If you combined his show and his movie, it's kind of like both of them. So if you're listening and you're like, I need a new TV show to watch, The Chair Company. Awesome. Awesome show.
Who stars in that show?
Tim Robinson.
Christ,
oh, Lord. Tim Robinson. Who was the guy that Rob interviewed on the field at the Dodgers game?
Tony Robbins.
Tony Robbins.
Yeah. Wait, okay. Gordo, you know who Tim Robinson is. Please tell me.
There's no way. There's no way. Sam.
I know. I got nothing. I never heard of the show. I was going to be like, why are you asking Pat if he's seen it? You're not asking me.
Hold on. Hold on. No, because I know Pat has seen it. He's a cultured man. You know the guy who goes, you sure about that?
Oh, I know that guy. Yeah. I've seen that.
That's Tim Robinson.
Okay. I've seen that clip. I've never seen I Think You Should Leave, but I have seen that clip.
What?
Pat wants to punch me through the screen.
I'm telling you right now. I have learned to just expect the minimum from Gordo in anything not related to sports. This, like, I expected every word coming out of his mouth.
Gordo.
Nothing here is...
Hey, but I knew what it was. I knew that
no,
it was
you
from
didn't.
I Think You Should Leave.
No, you did not. I know you did not.
I did. I said it. I said I know that that's from I Think You Should Leave. I
okay,
did know.
You should watch one episode of that show and you'll be hooked. It's amazing. Tim Robinson, all his sketches got rejected by SNL and then he's turned them into a TV show and everyone loves it. And it's like, oh, what does SNL know? And it's like, Tim Robinson knows comedy. You got to watch it, dude. He's unbelievable. He's weird. He's funny. He's everything you want. Watch his show. God damn it.
I'm going to see if I recognize. What did you just, Tim Robinson?
Yes.
I do recognize this guy. Oh, thank yeah, because it's the does he say, are you sure about that?
Yes.
Okay.
Is there an echo in here?
I just said that.
Oh, wait, we just had this conversation.
I'm furious with you, Gordo. How do you not? Yes. Hang your head in shame. Dude, it's such a good show. Pat, vouch for me. I Think You Should Leave. There's not a single bad episode. Disappointed.
It is the... This is going to sound like a knock on the show, but I mean it in like the most sincere way as like an elevator pitch for it. It is the most digestible form of comedy because it's kind of like scrolling TikTok. Like the sketches are short, they're fucking hysterical, and then the next one's up. Like the hit rate is incredibly high, and the sketches are so like niche and so odd that it makes it 10 times funnier. So again, sounds like a diss. I mean that in the best way possible.
No, you're right. You're right. It's extremely digestible. It's like you can watch half an episode and you'll get plenty out of it. Come back and watch it.
The episodes are like 17 minutes.
Yep.
Like,
yeah. Gordo, you got some friggin' homework to do. You got to watch this show. One episode. It's like in total with the commercials, it's like 25 minutes. You'll love it. And you'll be like, wow, Sammy and Pat, thank you so much for telling me to watch this show. My humor has been enhanced.
Send me your favorite. Send me a good one. Send me like one of the better ones.
The first episode of the first season has some all-time sketches in it.
Okay.
Like the very first episode.
Damn, okay.
The hot dog is, yeah.
I'll do it.
Yeah,
I'll do it.
I'll leave it at that.
Wait a minute. I've seen a picture of that. That hot dog.
Him in the hot dog costume?
Hot dog costume. I've seen that. It's memed. I've seen that.
Yes. Yeah. The meme is like, we're trying to find out who did this.
Yes.
He's like, oh my god, there's a hot dog car that just crashed into the store. It's like, could be any one of us. And he's in a hot dog costume. So you're just like a hot dog. And then he goes, yeah, but so is that guy. And it's a guy in like a brown suit with like a yellow and red tie. He goes, no, oh shit. Like, it's good. You'll like it.
All right, Pat, you got anything before we get out of here?
Yeah, I do. For the first time, I think, in my life, there was an entertaining NFL trade deadline. And it is infuriating that the Patriots weren't a part of it.
Yeah.
Like, it sucks. It sounds like a lot of the guys they were interested in were in division. Jalen Phillips, Breece Hall, Jermaine Johnson. So, like, the chances were slim or whatever. One positive, though, even though they did not make a move, the Jets just blew up their franchise and we played them two more times.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Playoffs, here we come.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah. The Pats might win a combined 70-0 in those games.
Yeah. Oh, the best part of it is, so I saw a tweet today and it was like the Jets now have the draft capital to acquire any quarterback who's not like unanimously top five. Fellas, the day the Jets trade for Kyler Murray will be the best day of my life.
Oh, if that's they're not going to be crazy enough to do that. That's nuts.
Die. You underestimate the Jets.
You're right.
Gordo.
You're right. I shouldn't do that. We've seen this song and dance a million times. They put their franchise in the hands of Aaron Rodgers.
Favre, Rodgers, Fields. They're due for another stinker.
Shout out the Jets. Anything else before we wrap this baby up?
I'm still mad that you haven't. Well, I just sent you a text. About I sent you the hot dog sketch. I bet people listening are gonna be just so disappointed that you haven't seen. How do you avoid it? How do you avoid Tim Rock? Okay, I'll stop. I just can't believe it.
Go Sox, guys. All right. Thanks for tuning in to Play Tessie episode 279. Remember, subscribe wherever you get your podcast. Rate 5 stars. You really appreciate it. You can find us on YouTube on WEI's YouTube channel. Subscribe there. Hit the thumbs up. You know the drill. And then follow us on all the socials at Play Tessie on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. Really appreciate it when you guys do that. Best way to keep up with all the content, get the graphics, get the videos, you know, everything that we're doing all off season, all season. We don't stop. For Sammy, good to Who Says No from you today, Sammy. Kind of like a Who Says No sandwich episode. It was good. I really liked what we did today. Pat, Joe producing. It is Gordo here for Play Tessie episode 279. Thanks for tuning in. Peace.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.